In this episode of Fictional Hangover, we discuss flipping tropes, representation, and being in cahoots in The Good Luck Girls by debut author Charlotte Nicole Davis and narrated by Jeanette Ullage. Excellent. Yes.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fictional Hangover, a podcast about young adult and new adult books, series and authors that is full of spoilers. I'm Claire.
And I'm Amanda.
And today we're going to discuss The Good Luck Girls by Charlotte Nicole Davis, an audiobook narrated by Jeanette Ullage.
Standard disclaimer, if you haven't read this book, please remember that Fictional Hangover is all about spoilers. If you haven't read or listened and don't want to be spoiled, stop listening to us and go read or listen to the book, then come back. If you haven't done this but want to pretend that you have, or if you don't care about spoilers, or if you just like the show so much that you don't care about any of that, then listen up. I'm so sorry I laughed earlier.
You're such a cow. Oh. I haven't called someone a cow in years.
Thanks. I feel like it's appropriate because we're talking about a Western today.
It's a term of endearment. Yeah. Wrangle some cattle and...
Yes.
Ride into the sunset. I don't know.
Yes. All of those things are happening. I feel like I need to preface this episode with an apology because, as we all know, I am currently getting ready to move, and my recording studio / closet is now out of commission, so my audio quality is probably going to be poor again. So, sorry, everyone, in advance, I say directly into the microphone.
And she did. She really did. I witnessed this.
That's right, because we can see each other, and you can't see us.
Ah, no. But one day we might do some kind of thing on the Fictional Hangover Book Club.
Yes.
Where we have a Zoom party or...
Yes, we really do need to have a Zoom party and play that game that I spent a long time making Fictional Hangover themed.
Your procrastination game.
Yes. My procrastination game that is not Animal Crossing. The other procrastination game.
Other procrastination game, yes. So, Animal Crossing.
So, let's talk about Animal Crossing. Do you want to?
I've had two nights of meteor showers. I'm well happy.
I'm so
not
sad.
Not that I do anything with them.
You them give them to me.
I do. I make that some makes story me happy. Bit, but that's about it. I don't like all the Aries bathtub and Gemini closet. They're awful.
No, they're scary looking. I mean, I kind of want them just because they're frightening.
It's like a murder. You're creating a murder house if you have them, quite frankly.
Yeah. It's speaking like of murder house.
The Easter Bunny thing, dear.
Oh, no. The Easter Bunny stuff was way worse.
It was terrifying.
It was way worse.
However, but... I warn you now, if Halloween goes absolutely over the top, like Easter Bunny Day, whatever, I am going with it.
Yes, I hope it does. Reacting. I hope it does. I wanted to say, speaking of murder house, today, I moved my Shining living room into the basement, and now I have to redo my living room. But I didn't like the placement of the fireplace and the desk with the typewriter and the stack of papers over in the corner of the living room. It just didn't feel right.
It needs to be front and center, doesn't it? Yeah. I saw somebody's basement where they turned into this kind of like underground spooky ethereal sewer type thing, and it looked fantastic.
Speaking
my jazz
of that,
lamp just gone. Jazz lamp into like a library area, and I'm still not 100% sure.
I got mossy stone walls today from the Traveling Camel, and it looks, I feel like it's like a Slytherin common room sort of thing.
Yeah.
I feel like it will be good for that, but...
That could be good. I got an ancient wall, so it was like hieroglyphs.
Mm.
I will probably not keep them.
Yeah, I've got a lot of stuff that I will probably never ever use, but... I guess it's okay to be a digital hoarder.
Yeah, I'm not a digital hoarder so much with it. I'm like, some things I'll keep and I think, oh, I might use it one day. But vast majority of the stuff I'll sell.
You're just in it for the bells.
No, not necessarily. I'm not in for the bells. I'm just selling it because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to use it. I have no inspiration from it, so I'll get rid of it. And then suddenly I'm like, oh, I really want 16 candles now.
Damn it.
Damn.
I give some of my stuff to my villagers in the hopes that they will give me something good in exchange. And the last time I did that, they all just gave me random small amounts of bells. That was not what I was after.
I did a re-gift the other day. I bought a couple of things from the Able Sisters. I was like, right, that'll do for this one, that'll do for this one. Right, okay. So I went to one. Oh, thanks. This is wonderful. Put it on. Would you like this instead? I'm like, no. No, I don't know. No. So then gave that to somebody else who gave me some chard. So I went through all of the villages and just re-gifted.
Nice. Good. Oh, my cow that thinks she's a pop star has moved away.
Oh, my penguin has. I'm a little sad, actually, because I did quite like Sprinkle.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Agnes has moved from my friend's island, my friend John's island, and she's really a bit too snooty, and I've got two snooty ones on the island now, and I'm like, ugh. And then there's Graham, the little yellow hamster gerbil thing. I'm like, oh, go away, Graham.
I don't know who this character is, but someone has now bought the cow's plot of land, and this animal's name is Agent S. And I don't want to look up. I feel like I recognize that name, but I don't want to look up and see what it is.
I'm going to look that up. I'm going to look that up on the travel guide app that I now own, because I'm going in deep. It. Oh my goodness.
Am I going to be excited?
It's a squirrel.
You weren't supposed to tell me. I was supposed to be surprised.
I'm not telling you anymore, yeah.
I hope he's a detective. Or a police officer or something.
There's definitely a character. There is a theme. There is definitely a nice theme going on there.
Excellent. I love
it. I love it.
Okay.
I would have preferred like a secret agent style, like James Bond.
Yeah. Well, they'll be here tomorrow. So, anyway,
my gazelle. Is it Gat? Is she a gazelle? Or is she a zebra? Well, her name's Zell. She's black and white with horns. She looks a bit. The antlers look a bit gazelle-ish.
I don't think zebras have horns.
No,
they're horses. Horses.
She's a bit of a mix between a gazelle and a zebra. And I gave her a fancy dress, tuxedo top the other day because I thought, just yes. And she's not taken it off for 4 days. It's excellent. Magical. It's excellent. Magical. Anywho, we have
We have a book to discuss.
A book to talk about. Listen up until the next, folks, when we start our Animal Crossing podcast. Where it literally is just, what have you done this week? Well,
we did have a request on Facebook to please have an entire episode about Animal Crossing, and it was probably because we always take pictures when we visit each other's islands, and this past time we were wearing Fictional Hangover shirts in my little Fictional Hangover recording studio, and the person was very interested in that. So maybe something is going to happen. I don't know. But Fictional Hangover shirts will happen.
Yes, we'll record it whilst we're playing.
Maybe we should do that. We will be so distracted. It will be a nightmare. But anyway, let's talk about this book.
No, meet your shower. Fucking look up. Scorpions. Oh, God. I haven't caught one yet because I'm terrified.
It's like the tarantulas and you can build a pit, but they're fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I try. I am trying. I wish I could just find Scorpion Island, because at least then I'm probably guaranteed to catch it.
It's the bamboo. It's the island with the bamboo. That's the one that you need to go to.
I went to an island that had bamboo and there was no scorpions.
But when you go to that island, you have to clear everything off. You have to get rid of all of the bamboo and clear off all the holes, and so it's just a blank island. And then bugs will start showing up and you have to chase the bugs away. And then, like, I just run circuits around that island, chasing away the bugs that show up, the wharf roaches on the rocks, and then there's, like, beetles and stuff, and then every now and then, scorpions or tarantulas will show up. But so you clear off the entire island.
No holes.
You dig the traps.
Because dig that's the traps, what I did. As I was clearing out the bamboo and all the flowers, I left the holes. Because I thought, it's traps.
You can build the traps. You just have to be patient. And run away the other bugs that keep showing up.
That was probably my problem. I didn't run off the other bugs.
Yeah, run off the other bugs and then they'll show up.
Okay, now we all have that life lesson.
Now we have that life lesson. And we were talking about scorpions, which is fitting for our book that we're talking about. Because yes! It's a Western. Segue.
Lovely theme to our book club challenge as well.
Yes.
Which is Frontier Times.
Yes.
So I'm very excited by this one.
Our first Frontier Times book, we went with Western. Up next is Space Cowboys, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then another one that's just space after that. And then another Cowboys. So it's... I'm
a cowboy, baby.
No.
You know I'm useless when it comes to music. Me too.
But anyway. Nope. Can't. Happy birthday. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Can't. Can't do it.
If you ask me to sing something right now, it will probably be the theme song to a cartoon series. I know all of the words to the story, but...
I can't say if that's impressive or not.
It's not. I don't
know. Okay. Can we Shall we talk about this book, please? Please.
Can we have a moderate amount of professionalism here? Come on.
Please.
Oh my god. Right. Thanks. Background info. Hit me, girl.
I found something exciting. For me personally, not for anyone else probably, but for me personally.
I am excited.
It was exciting for me. So in a Book Riot article called Balancing Real World Oppression with a Fantasy Western Romp, written by Allison Doherty in October of last year, 2019. Allison had interviewed Charlotte Nicole Davis about wanting girls of color to be able to read about girls like them doing the things that white men typically get to do in Westerns, and that was very well done, I think, in this story.
Yeah.
But the article also mentions Charlotte Nicole Davis's low-key obsession with using her library subscription to access the Oxford English Dictionary to get the character slang right.
Nice.
And I love it so much that she used her library card. She used references available to her through her library to write this book, and it makes my heart happy. But then something else that I read and learned. At the end of the book, she lists some of her reference sources.
Yes, I really enjoyed that.
Right? It was amazing.
I love it when that happens.
Me too. One of the books that she read and used and got a lot of inspiration from is Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, written by Dee Brown, who is an author, historian, and librarian who lived in Little Rock, where I am from. And my very first library job was working in the library branch named after him.
Nice.
And that just makes my heart happy.
Nice.
So yeah, shout out to the Dee Brown Library.
There was a couple of titles that were listed in the acknowledgements that I really kind of thought, oh, actually, I wouldn't mind looking into.
Yeah.
If I had the time to read them, TBR list is exponentially growing. And they haven't all even been delivered yet.
Anyway.
That is delightful.
It made me happy.
I love it. I love it. Love it.
What were your initial thoughts?
Do you know what? I think this is probably the month I struggled with the most because I'm not a big Western fan. War movies and Westerns have never been a particular genre that I've enjoyed. Like, my dad apparently absolutely adored them. And I always remember watching the Western and war movies at his parents' house on a Saturday afternoon. But they were never, for me. And yeah. I think that's possibly because there was a complete lack of representation. So, of a female.
Yeah.
So, it was nice to read something from a female's perspective, a female point of view. And I thought, oh, it's going to be interesting. And I thought, this could be really intense based on where they're escaping from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how soon do they escape from it? What kind of trials are we going to see them undertake? So I think it's nice to finally have something that is out of the box, really. Which shouldn't be, because it is not, it's not crazy to know that women were in the Wild West and people of colour were in the Wild West.
What? So, this is a shock to me. I do not comprehend. What?
I know. So, yeah. And there were some really interesting world-building pieces that I wasn't expecting, but really enjoyed.
Yeah.
It's not hinted at in the summary. And the way it's done, and we'll get into detail later on, was it's there, it's knowledge, accept it. I'm not going to go into the details of why it's there, because that's the way it is. And that's, I love that kind of, similar to when you said you just love the fact it's just dropped straight into the world. Like, the plague is happening, deal with it. You're not getting any further background information. We're not getting a million origin stories. It just exists.
Yeah, and I prefer that.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, it's funny that you said you aren't really, like, into Westerns or war movies, and I'm not really either. But I did take a Westerns class when I was in undergrad because I had elective hours that I needed to burn and I liked the professor. But it was a really fun course to take. There was a lot of information about cowboys and the Wild West, and we read fiction and watched movies. So that was a lot of fun, and what you said reminded me of that. But anyway, I wanted to... The reason why I picked Frontier Times, you know, because we take turns picking the themes for the month, but the reason why I picked it is because I wanted an excuse to read something that I wouldn't normally pick up on my own.
Yeah.
And, but then I included Space Cowboys because I do love a good outer space book, and that's not ever something that we just automatically go for on the show.
No, which is a shame because I'm in the same boat and I absolutely adore sci-fi. I adore sci-fi. So, okay, can I go back and say I'm not really into Westerns, but if you put a Western in space, e.g. Firefly, I'm all over it.
Yeah. So I wanted to read something that I hadn't really read a lot of before. And I've read, there's one Western-ish story that I read a few years ago and I really enjoyed it. So now we're reading another one, and here it is, and it was really good. And I was also excited to support a debut author. This is Charlotte Nicole Davis's first book, and I think she did a great job with it.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, so I hope great things happen for her in the future.
And there is a sequel coming out. Nothing's been announced that I can see for it.
Yeah.
But there is a second one. However, it's a pleasant enough ending. Like, there's no cliffhangers. There's nothing that's going to upset you. Like, you know, that because the threads haven't been nicely trimmed, it could be read as a standalone book and you'd already be satisfied by it.
Which is also
a positive.
Yes. I did, when I was doing background research, I did read that the next story is going to contain a lot of the same stuff, but bigger and better. So, sounds good to me.
It does.
On board.
It does. Yeah, on board.
Yeah. Ready to go. Do you want to summarize? Is it time? Don't ask that question. It's not that time.
No. Don't pew.
It's not that time. It's not that time yet. Clementine has just turned 16. She's finally a woman proper, and her favor... Oh, it's going to be bad. I'm going to lean into my original accent. It's going to be bad. Clementine has just turned 16. She's finally a woman proper, and her favor, the tattoo of a clementine flower, it's happening already, put on her neck when she was 10, has bloomed. This beautiful flower does not mean beautiful things, though. It marks her as a good luck girl who has to work in the welcome house for all the rest of her days. And now that she's a woman proper, she gets to have her lucky night, where she finally gets to take a brag. None of these things are good. Mother Fleur, the house mistress, is helping her get ready and also threatening her with a visit by the Raveners if she doesn't represent the house well. No one wants that. A Ravener ripping inside your mind and making you live your worst fears? So she better do right. Her sister, Astor, has prepared her as best as she could, telling her don't take the sweet thistle and think of a song until it's over. Clementine tried her best, but wasn't ready. She asked the Brag to give her a moment, but he pressed on, forced himself on her. To get him to stop, Clementine hit him with a lamp. She hit him until he died.
Astor had always been told to be grateful to be a good luck girl, especially as a dustblood in the scab of Arquetta. She'd never go hungry, always have a roof over her head, even get to go to the dentist. Ooh,
yes.
Dustbloods are the descendants of those that fought against the Empire when they took over. They looked just like any other fair blood, except they had no shadows. Those were taken away as part of their punishment. Now, centuries later, their descendants don't have them either, and are still paying for the non-existent debt of their ancestors, forever kept below the fair bloods. The welcome houses came about as places for dustbloods who had one too many mouths to feed, let's say, to send their daughters. They'd always been taken care of, but is that really the life you choose? No. Mm-mm. No, it is not.
No.
No one would choose that life. Especially because of the favours. If you were able to escape, everyone would know you were a good luck girl and send you back to a welcome house because you can't keep your favour covered for any length of time or it begins to glow and burn. And that's even if you can get past the Ravener at the door, which you can't. Probably should just give up
and deal with it. Astor is worried about Clementine's first night as a sundown girl. She's tougher than her sister and really overprotective, so she's worried that Clem won't be able to handle it. And, well, really? I mean, she's right.
Yeah.
Murder. After killing the Brag, a terrified Clementine finds Astor and asks for help. This is not a good situation. There are Brags and Raveners and other girls all around them. If they're spotted, things will get so much worse. They make it back up to Clementine's room and decide to hide the body, but he's too heavy to move on their own, so they find Clementine's friends, Tansy and Mallow, to help. They're not quite old enough to be sundown girls yet, so they are upstairs in the attic, off work for the night. They come to help immediately, and working together, the four girls shove the Brag into the wardrobe. Then, they have to figure out what to do next. Everyone will surely notice when the Brag doesn't leave. Astor decides she and Clem will run, but there's no way that will work. And now, there's a rattling at the door. Oh, great. They've been discovered.
At the door is Violet, Mother Fleur's favourite girl. She's going to tell on them for sure, except she doesn't. She says she wants to run away with them, and so do Tansy and Mallow. The hatcher plan to use a knife they found in his boot to cut off the Brag's hand and use his temporary tattoo marking him as a paid guest to sneak one of them out. And that one has to be Violet, because she's a fair blood with enough confidence to pull off walking past the Ravener at the door. Astor will create a diversion so the Ravener will be distracted enough to let Violet go by with her fake hand, and then she'll pull a cart round below the window so that the other girls will jump down from it. Surprisingly, it works well enough. It was convoluted, but it worked. Except,
just imagine cutting that hand off and like holding it delicately out the sleeve of a coat. It's terrible.
Do you know what this is? This is awful. But the image that popped into my head was something like out of the Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
Or
like
the
three
Minions.
People wearing a trench coat.
Yeah, or the Minions movie when they go to see the Crown Jewels in the Tower of London. Anyway. So surprisingly, it works well enough, except that Astor's diversion requires her to go upstairs with a Brag, and now she had to escape from him too. So she drugs him with the sweet thistle and jumps out of the window to join her friends.
They meet in the stables and learn that Violet knows of a way to get rid of their favors. Really is a good thing they let her come along. She says they need to find a woman called Lady Ghost, who everyone thought was just a fairy tale. Violet doesn't quite trust the other girls not to leave her behind, so she won't tell them exactly where they need to go to find Lady Ghost, just that they need to head toward the next town. So they steal some clothes, supplies, and horses from the stable and set off.
On their way to the next town, they must avoid the ghosts along the Bourne Road. The remnants aren't so scary, but the vengeance are terrifying. You can't see them unless you're in direct moonlight, and by then, it's too late. Clementine can see them, though, ever since she nearly died as a child, so that makes their travels a little easier. It also makes travelling easier that the vengeance seem to be avoiding them. Even the one swooping right in front of them just continues on its way with its glowing red eyes, crown of antlers, black-backed wings and wolfish mouth.
Whoa. 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 Which Amanda is, wants to frankly, cosplay a vengeance.
A good thing. Yes.
I don't know if it's going to happen, though. Honestly, because
at some point.
Because of moving, there might not be a cosplay for this week.
In the future. We're going to put a pin on that.
Okay.
Violet drops something and the others go on without her, sure that she'll give up on whatever stupid earring she dropped and catch up. And she does. The next morning, when they stop to water the horses, they realise why the vengeance left them alone. When Mallow took the Bragg's knife, Tansy took off his ring, thinking they could sell it for shine to pay their way. But they realise the ring is made of thermite, which keeps vengeance at bay. It's worth a lot of money, but it's probably better that they hold on to it to keep themselves safe.
They're spotted by a man on the side of the road and manage to get away without him following. But then, Violet starts feeling poorly. She dropped her sweet thistle the night before, couldn't find it, and left without it, fearing Aster and the others would leave her behind. Now she's beginning to go through withdrawals, and none of the other girls have used sweet thistle, so they don't have any. They ride on for a little bit longer, but then Violet falls off her horse. She needs Sweet Thistle, or she's going to die. And as much as they dislike her, she's the only one who knows where to find Lady Ghost, so they have to help her. And now, the heists begin!
Yay!
Yay! Heists, robberies!
That's why you watch Western, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Aster and Tansy go into the next town with the others waiting in a rundown mine nearby. They plan to break into an apothecary and steal sweet thistle and other medical supplies they might need. Tansy has some training by her mother before she died, so she knows what they'll need. They break in and are met by the owner's shotgun. That's proper Wild West, isn't it?
It really but is.
Bash him in the face enough so he'll help them gather supplies. Again, proper Wild West.
And another one coming up.
Yeah, yeah. Pasted to the wall of the apothecary are wanted posters. All five of their faces, all five of them wanted for the murder of Baxter McLennan, son of the most powerful landmaster in Arquetta. Ripping hell. That got up quickly. Like, it was only the day before.
Yeah.
Someone is good at their job.
Someone is really good at sketching.
Yeah.
And then making a million copies.
So they get the supplies, tie up the shop owner, and get back to the others to break the bad news to them. Good thing Violet will be able to travel again soon because they need to get a move on. Upon waking, Violet tells them that they still may have a long way to go to find Lady Ghost and they'll need about 1,000 eagles each to have their favours removed. That's a lot of shine that they just do not have. Maybe they can pair her with the thermite ring. Possibly, maybe. Aster goes to fill the canteen before they leave and she is tackled by the man they saw earlier.
Damn it. This young man is Z, a Dustblood rangeman, and he offers to help them in exchange for McLennan's ring. He just tackled Aster to keep her from getting gored by a mountain cat and says he's been tracking them since they left the Welcome House. If he wanted to turn them in or kill them, he would have done it by now for sure. He knows that they have the Theomite ring, which would keep him safe on the road. The girls decide it will be good to have arrangement to help them to travel the hundreds of miles they have to go to reach Lady Ghost, so he joins the crew. Clementine immediately takes a liking to him, which Aster doesn't like, but Clementine thinks it would be good to have him as a friend. Wink, wink. They make camp again a little later, Z going into town for some supplies. Aster follows and sees him coming out of a welcome house. Oh, great.
Aster goes back to the camp to tell them that they need to leave because Z is just another brag that's probably going to turn them in. They need money, though, so they decide to rob a coach on the way into town.
Yay!
As one
burglaries!
They see a statesman that they've seen before, and Violet puts on a damsel in distress act, and they ambush him, rough him up, steal his shine, and tie him to a tree. Beautiful. They get back to camp and find Z waiting for them, worried out of his mind that they've been captured. They confront him about being in the welcome house, and he reveals he's looking for his sisters.
Aster still feels uneasy about Z, like he's still holding something back, or maybe it's just that Clementine is so giggly over him. I don't know. She shares her mistrust with Violet, who says, you might not have to trust people, but you need to know when they're useful, and suggests getting Z to help with the next burglary. They only got 100 eagles from the statesman, and that's not near enough for Lady Ghost, especially if they have to give the Theomite ring to Z. Aster convinces him to lure a brag outside the next town so they can string him up and rob him, and that plan works just fine. A little bit of time passes. Aster and Violet make a deeper connection while Violet practices shooting and gloating that she's finally better than Aster at something. Aster reveals just why she prefers using a knife over a gun. A brag once played Russian roulette in her mouth. No, thank you very much. Violet reveals she can't stand when Z touches her, not even to help her down from the horse. Aster feels the same way. Later that night, it's revealed that Tansy and Mallow are sweet on each other. And Clementine's got a crush on Z, which makes Aster jealous. Clementine says she's gotten to know Z now that Aster and Violet are in cahoots, which is what I'm going to call their relationship from now on. They are in cahoots. Even though they're not really, but totally they are. Totally they would be. Their peaceful day takes a nasty turn when raveners get close in the middle of the night, led by Jared McLennan, Baxter's uncle. They have to make a run for it and manage to escape by cutting down a rope bridge, leaving McLennan and his raveners on the other side.
They make it to the next town and have their robberies down pat. They're almost through the scab now, but don't have nearly enough shine, so they decide to rob a bank!
Yes! Yes!
Luckily, one of the brags they robbed just happens to be a brand new bank owner and had the combination to the safe written down. This is perfect.
So perfect.
The bank robbery is not so perfect, though. The combination doesn't seem to be right. Was it even a combination at all? Yeah, what have they got themselves into? Well, now, my dear, the law's onto them. Surely they're going to be caught. Aster tries the combination one more time, swapping out a 7 for a 1. It could be that after all. And guess what? It is!
It is!
It is. She grabs the gold and the silver in the safe and is about to run when she doubles over in pain from the burning fever. It's been covered for too long, and now their cover is blown. The lawmen know that they are the wanted girls, so at least they'll be taken alive. But the girls fire some warning shots and take off. They jump over a wall in the cemetery to the outside of the town, expecting Z to be there waiting so they can get him away. But he's nowhere to be seen. Ripping hell.
Ripping hell again.
Ripping hell.
I love their curse words. I love that ripping they say hell. Ripping hell. It makes me happy. They run through the wilderness, thinking it would be better to get attacked by vengeance than raveners and lawmen, and that's exactly what happens. Mallow gets taken by a vengeant, but Z shows up just in time to get her back. She's hurt really bad, though, and needs a hospital. Yeah, right. They're going to go to a hospital, I'm sure. Z knows somewhere they can go where they'll be able to get Mallow the help she needs and stay safe at the same time. Aster rides with Mallow to keep her awake as they travel and learns that she had a twin brother. She says it felt like their souls were in the wrong bodies, which is beautiful and sad because the brother's probably dead now. But I love it. I love it so much. They make it to Z's settlement that is not a town, but a hidden community inside a rundown mine. The Scorpions. When they realize the Good Luck Girls have come to their mine, they're welcomed with open arms.
That's a nice change, isn't it?
It was so nice. It was so nice and pleasant down in that underground world.
The scorpions have plans to build their mines all the way through the scab and out of Arketa to Faron, where the Dustblood deaths don't exist. Wouldn't that be nice? Lovely.
It would be so nice.
So nice. They have a good night's sleep and meet the leader of the group of scorpions, Sam, next day, and find out some things from him about Z that don't quite add up. Just stories from their past that seem out of the ordinary. Asta works with Sam's brother Eli in the kitchen all day, and that night, after dinner, the girls play a game of cards with a group of guys where they learn secrets after each round. It gets a little touchy when they ask about how they came to be good luck girls, mostly because their parents didn't have enough money to care for them and sold them off, except for Violet. Her mother was a good luck girl too, only her surgery to keep her from getting pregnant didn't work. Her father was a wealthy steel magnate who was supposed to get her and her mother out of the Welcome House. But that never happened. And then her mother committed suicide. It's not a great end to the night.
No, it's definitely not. They leave the next morning for the next town, the last one on the way out of the scab. They realize they have enough shine to get their favors removed, plus a little extra to get them all the way to Lady Ghost. Perfect. But then they see a Ravener with a little girl, taking her to a welcome house, and they decide they have to rescue her. They do! And they end up taking her to an aunt's house, and then they give them all their money so they'll be safe. And this is when I erupt in flames. The law is after them again, and they somehow manage to escape again. They really must be good luck girls. I wish I had their luck, because I have literally zero. Anyway, Aster and Z both get hurt this time. Z got shot, and Aster got bit by a Vengeant. But they end up using the Vengeance to get away from the lawmen, and they make it onto a moving train.
That's so cool.
So while good, on train, jumping on the train.
Aster and Violet tell the rest that they gave away all their shine, and everyone is okay with this.
And then the flames come back.
Yeah. They say they'd have done the same, and then they'll just have to steal some more. But, you know, they're all pretty ragged at this point, so... good luck with that. Z decides that these girls are his family now, and if he never finds his sisters, it'll be okay, because now he has more. He gives them the thermite ring back to give to Lady Ghost, then finally reveals his secrets. That his father was a Ravener, and he used to help him take girls to welcome houses and do all the other terrible things Raveners do. At this Aster's point, like, I told you so. Yeah. Should have listened to me.
I told you there was something wrong with this guy.
Yeah. But they all forgive him because he's family to them now. They make it to the outskirts of the town where Lady Ghost is and make camp for the night. In the middle of the night, Violet takes off but leaves behind a suicide note from her mother that's supposed to tell them the way to get to Lady Ghost. It doesn't really, though. No. Mm-mm. It kind of hints that a bedtime story she used to tell will lead Violet to Lady Ghost, but it also doesn't seem like a suicide note. It's really odd.
Yeah, it was a very odd letter.
Yeah.
Aster goes into town looking for Violet and finds her on the front porch of her wealthy Bragg father's house. She sees him with his real family and wants to kill him. Aster tells her that her mother's note wasn't a suicide note, and Violet reveals that Mother Fleur told her it was, and that her mother never wanted her, and killed herself because of her. Yeah, she's a real piece of shit. Mother Fleur, just the worst person in the entire world. They're about to head back to camp when the law pours out of the house and takes them to a prison in Jared McLennan's cellar. Not long after, just when they're thinking it's a good thing that the other girls aren't here, they're brought in too.
Of course.
The cellar is guarded by Raveners, and there is no escape, and everything is terrible. They're tortured and starved in the hopes that one of them will crack and tell McLennan who killed his nephew. The only way they get to eat is if they work. And that's the kind of work that they used to do in the welcome houses.
Well, Aster and Violet used to do, the other girls.
Yes, the other girls hadn't quite made it that far yet, but yikes. They refuse. Good.
What assholes. Absolute assholes.
Yeah, it's really gross. All of it's just disgusting. They try to work out the clues to finding Lady Ghost and plan what they're going to do when they're finally free. And all of this just seems like okay, we know we're going to die, so let's talk about something that's not terrible. Because, you know, come on, they're not going to get out. And none of these dreams are going to come true, and it's awful.
It was like a Last Supper conversation, wasn't it?
It really was. But wait! Clementine takes off the bracelet that Aster gave her for her birthday and pulls a pin out of it. Aster picks the lock, and they escape, while the Raveners and McLennan and his men are out chasing Z.
I absolutely raged at this point. I was like, you've been in there, in that cellar, starving, thirsty, sleep-deprived, tortured, for probably a week, and so you're like, oh, I've got a lockpick.
Oh, hey, here's this pin. Here's this pin that came out of my bracelet.
As they're escaping through the plains, Violet falls and says that they have to leave her behind. She's still suffering from sweet thistle withdrawal and is too weak to go on and dying. The girls go on without her because if they don't, they'll all be dead. A little while later, they are found by Z. Yay! They talk to him about the bedtime story and the clues they've been trying to work out, which leads them to another abandoned mine. Inside the mine is Lady Ghost. Well, three Lady Ghosts. Like the Scorpions, these Lady Ghosts help people across the border to freedom. No payment necessary. There is no getting rid of the favours, but even with them, they'll be safe across the border. Tansy and Mallow leave, and Clementine and Z, but Aster decides to stay behind to become a Lady Ghost to help others cross to safety.
Such a good ending. Except for that Violet dies.
Does she?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. But does she? Does she?
There's nobody.
I
think because McLennan and his gang are chasing after them and so close, like, literally Violet falls just as they're heading into the woods. They'll pick Violet up and they'll get her back.
That's probably going to be the storyline for the next one.
Aster
rescuing Violet, and then they can be in cahoots again.
I would like to think that. I also would like to think that it's set... See, this is where it takes it out of the realms of a YA book. But I would like it to be set some years in the future. Mm-hmm. And Aster is an established Lady Ghost. And Violet has become a madam.
Man. I don't know how to feel about that. I hope that's not what happens. I want Violet to be safe.
I want Violet to be safe, but I also think you've got this point where you've got very well-established characters. You have feelings towards them and you'd be like, oh, well, Violet's alive! Yes! Oh, no, she's running her own welcome house and basically turned into Madame Fleur.
But maybe if that is what happens, maybe she can be, like, the opposite of Mother Fleur and be
like a redemption.
And she can be really great to all the girls and like teaches them how to murder all the Bracks or something. I don't know. That probably wouldn't work out very well, but maybe. Maybe I would be okay if something like that happened. I feel like whatever it is that happens in the second book, it's going to be Aster rescuing Violet.
Yeah.
No matter what they're doing, that's got to be what it is.
Yeah.
Because they're in cahoots. They've got to be in cahoots. They love each other.
Yeah. 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 No, I agree. I just think it's going to get worse.
Oh, it's probably going to get so much worse. It's going to get so much worse before it gets better.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the only thing I can think of. But like I say, it's going to take it out of the realm of YA. Or even new adult, because in my imagination, it's got to be a few years, and they've got to be very well established.
Well, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, because who knows what's happening in this world. She could start up her own welcome house, or it could be Jared McLennan knows who she is and knows who her father is, and wants a fair blood running his new welcome house.
She becomes... his private property.
Ew, gross. Could be that too, though. Gross.
Because that's established in the books as well that it happens.
Yeah, that's gross. I hope that.
And she's got to try and rescue. Aster's got to try and rescue Violet from his clutches.
Gross. and then she kills him. She kills all of the McLennans.
Burns down, like, as she's walking out. Like,
she throws a match over her shoulder.
Throws a match over her shoulder, and it lands on the trail of dynamite.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was no dynamite in this one, and I feel like dynamite is required in a Western at some point. One of those TNT boxes with the crank.
Yes, and considering how many mines they went to.
Yeah.
I watch these ghosty programs, and there have been quite a few of these mines, and there's leftover TNT in these mines, and they've got to be careful. So I'm deeply disappointed there are not as many explosions, but you never know. It could be, to be fair, you know, there was a bank robbery, they jumped onto a moving train, there was a stagecoach robbery, there was, you know, accosting on the highway.
They tie men up by their ankles.
Oh,
they
honestly
steal their pocket watches. All of these things.
There's all these things. It was very, very, I say stereotypical Western, it's exactly what you without the experience of a West, of being, you know, the cowboy lands or whatever, that's exactly what you expect.
Yeah, and I mean, Charlotte Nicole Davis even mentioned that, like, her book is full of Western tropes, but she's flipping them because it's not white men doing all of the things in the tropes. It's women of color. So
it's not
perfect. It's a perfect trope flip.
Exactly, and it's not as if the Wild West was an exclusive arena of white men. When we were doing, like, the Would You Rathers and, you know, getting the bits and pieces, like the background stuff together, I actually Googled, more Google image than anything else. I didn't, like, want to go down the rabbit hole of Wikipedia or all of the other reference material, because that's a warren I would not have escaped from.
You would have come out wearing a cowboy hat with, like, a piece of hay in your mouth.
Oh, at the very least. At the very least. I'd have been insisting you call me Calamity or something like that.
Yes, you would have.
Yeah. And suddenly, you know, developed one of those walks where it looks like you need to go for poop.
Yes. Yeah, because you've been riding your horse all day.
Exactly. So, and as we established in the interview with the Lady James, I don't do well with horses.
One chased you. One tiny pony chased you and it frightened you.
I'm terrified. So, yeah, I'd have gone down that. So I went to the Google image instead. And honestly, just the diversity in the pictures was phenomenal. And yeah.
Isn't it so amazing that in real life there were, I mean, most of the cowboys were black or Latino.
Yeah.
Hispanic men, cowboys, and ladies.
Exactly. It's like, if you look at the history of, like, California, it's rich in Asian culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not represented.
No, it's not.
But
unless you get to, like, the railroad, then you get it, but it's not what you want to see, and everything's terrible.
You know, it's going from the, there's, like, spaghetti westerns, there's reality, and there's Blazing Saddles sitting there in the middle. And as much as Blazing Saddles, and I adore Mel Brooks and all his movies, as much as it's a mockery, and, you know, it's very satirical, and it has
its
diversity.
It's awful in every single way.
Yeah.
But it has diversity.
It has diversity. And yeah. And I think now more than ever, people need to see that they existed.
Yeah.
It sounds awful, but you aren't the first of this type of person. There will have been others before, but they were suppressed.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's nice. It's nice that this book came around.
Definitely. And it was so well written. And, you know, with the vengeance and the raveners and the lack of shadows, that's what I was saying at the top of the show, like, the history that didn't really need a lot of exposition. You kind of thrown in there. And I think my mind must have wandered at one point as I was listening to it, because, you know, the audiobook is absolutely spectacular. It's so well done, honestly. Like, Jeanette Ilitch
was amazing.
Yeah, she's kind of like an audiobook narrator now that I would seek out. And I mean, she's a like an actress, voice actress. She's a singer, everything. She's multi talented as well. And I've lost my train of thought. And yeah, it was just, I want to stop.
You're talking about the world building and how, like, there was not a lot of background info with the Raveners, and that you spaced out during.
Oh yeah, I spaced out, and I kind of went, hang on, what? What? Backtracked. I went, oh, that's creepy as. Ugh, do not like.
Yeah, but I did like that. I mean, you say you spaced out, but I mean, how long did you space out? Not that long, and that's the only amount of information about them not having shadows and the Vengeance and the Raveners. Like, it's just this little tiny bit. And it's not so much that you're like, oh my god, stop talking about them, we understand.
Yeah, so I literally backtracked at like 30 seconds, a minute. And it was simply because I had to go like and get some like painkillers or something like that. And that is the only reason I spaced out. I had a headache or something. I can't remember, it was like a week ago when I listened to it. And it was just like literally a distraction. And then it was in the world, and the Vengeance. Yes, I want to see the cosplay.
What if Violet became a Vengeant if she died?
Ooh.
I would love to see Violet with antler horns and, or crown of antlers?
Something like that. Yeah, bat wings. Do you know what kind of not reminded me of, but I got certain feelings about them. Ruthane from House of Night. The Raven Mockers.
Yeah, because they were described as pretty effing grotesque the first time they mentioned them in the PC cast. It's like, no, he has to be handsome because he's gonna turn into a real boy. And she's like, Stop describing them in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. But because obviously PC casters, she's so respectful and loves to include accurate native history. And also in Charlotte McCall Davis's acknowledgements, there was native history involved in the books that she was recommending and actually used. Yeah. So I would like to know, I would be interested to know what legends they come from.
Oh, I'm sure they came from something.
Yeah.
Just the way that they were described, they sound very mythical.
Exactly. It feels like it's some sort of native myth, history, something. And they were just wonderful. Wonderfully just terrible and terribly wonderful. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. Did you find it a little bit... I feel like I'm going back to Mel Brooks here. But did you find it a little bit, like, not slapstick, but there was just so many Western tropes in it?
Yeah, but like, I loved it. Like,
the bank robbery and the I loved it. I really, really did. And I think it didn't seem silly. It didn't feel like they were robbing a stagecoach for the hell of it.
No, they need the shine, so they have to keep robbing all of these people. They have to keep doing it over and over and over again.
You have to have an explanation. Or else they're
never going to get rid of their favors. Like, yeah, it had to be done. And it was done so well.
Yeah, I don't like the favors. I mean, I did like the imagery of it and, you know, and I understand why. But I felt for them having been branded in such a manner, like, from such a young age as well.
Yeah, like, they when it blossoms, at like 10.
That's your lucky day. But no. Yeah,
it's gross. It's your lucky day. You get to sell your virginity to the highest bidder. Oh.
I mean, it's not consensual rape, but kind of, you're not willing,
it's not,
but you kind of got to do it. No, it's awful. It's awful. That's probably my least favourite, and probably because it's real.
Yeah.
Like the whole sex trafficking and the negative.
It's real.
There is, I mean, there is people who work in the sex industry and they want to and they thrive and they're healthy.
They choose to and they, yes, but these and that's did fine. Not choose this life.
No, no, no. And that's what, yeah, I think too real, perhaps.
Yeah.
But that's also a positive.
Yeah, it really is. It really, really is. Do you know what I hated?
Violet's death, because that was mine.
I did hate that too. But
no, sorry. Violet's court death.
Yes, Violet's court death. I hated that. But I'm so upset because they went through, you know, all of my favorite parts with the robberies and the pistol whippings and the stringing the guys up and hanging them by their ankles and all of this stuff is so fantastic and they've earned all of the shine and then they gave it away.
Yeah!
Give them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need all of your money. You can help people who are less fortunate than you without giving away your entire savings.
Yeah, because it was like at least 6,000.
It was more than 5,000.
Well, there was
less than 6,000.
Well, there's Clementine, Aster, Violet, Marrow,
Tansy, and Mallow. There's five of them.
Tansy and Mallow, so there's five.
They each had enough with a little bit left over. So that's 5,000.
At least. I was, you know.
Give them 100.
Z probably had a cut in there as well. Yeah,
no, I was thinking like... But at that time, Z was still getting the ring.
True.
And the ring was worth a whole lot, they decided.
True. So, yeah, I was like, maximum one person's.
Yeah. And that's what I thought, too. That's what I thought, too, when Aster was like, okay, I'm gonna make this decision, and I know that Clementine would do the same. So I thought, okay, Max, she's giving away her cut and Clementine's cut. But no, it was everyone's.
Yeah. I can see where they'll be like, yeah, that's fine. No, bitch. No. That's my freedom you've just given away. And I mean,
maybe they were enjoying robbing the guys so much and robbing the banks and stuff, and they just wanted to keep out and, you know, keep doing it. But...
Yeah, I can get that. But do you know what? The thing is, though, Aster is the only one who's been in that life the long, like, in Violet, have been good luck girls, you know, sundown girls for that long. Everybody else, until Clementine's lucky night. The other two girls, they're daytime girls. They don't have to, they are not at the stage of having to have sex to live.
No, but it was coming soon.
It was coming soon, yeah. But they don't know and haven't experienced. Yes, they've seen it, but they haven't experienced it. And I don't know. I'm not in the situation. I don't think because I'm not in that situation, I can't relate and I can't say it. But yeah, why give all of the money? In that situation,
Don't give all of the money away. That was awful. That was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Bad. It was bad. And it made me so angry because that seemed like such a stupid decision to make.
It was too much. I can see why, but it's too much.
But don't give them all the money.
Yeah, this'll get you to new house. Here's enough money to get you to another town, get some supplies, somewhere to live for a little while until you get yourself a job and settle. You know, a couple of months worth of income.
Yeah, not all of it. That made me so angry. I erupted in flames.
And you kind of think the amount of money that they gave to these people, it's got to be like the annual income for like the next 15 years or something.
Yeah. So much money.
Oh. I'm with you. However, if somebody wants to give me a ridiculous amount of money, thank you very much.
We'll gladly accept it. If anyone wants to support our podcast by giving us 5,000 eagles, we will take it. Please, don't even give me one eagle because they're big, scary fucking birds, and
I'm terrified of huge birds. I will I will know more. What you can do is go to our shop.
That's true. shop.spreadshirt.com/fictionalhangover and buy merchandise. That will make me happy.
It really will. Like, there'll be squeeze and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what design I will have for this shirt. If there is a shirt for this book.
I like this shirt designs to be au naturel. Like, spur of the moment, it comes up in conversation, like that needs to be on some kind of cloth.
Yeah. I'm glad it's just some kind of cloth.
Yeah.
Not anything specific. Some kind of cloth.
I do want a massive, like, cross-stitch stamp sampler with loads of, like, horse puns on.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to do more horse pun things. Although we do have shirts featuring a horse pun. And also, it's not just a shirt, my friend. You can buy other items with these designs on them. I believe I put the horse pun on a pillow. Why? I don't know, because it needed to happen.
No, I'm sorry. The real question here is, why don't I have that yet?
I don't know. Why aren't you supporting our business? I'm pretty sure I'm the only person who's bought things from our shop. No, that's a lie. We have one other person.
That is a damn lie.
That is a lie. Constance, our dear, devoted listener, Constance, has now purchased a shirt with her own coloring on it. The Merlion shirt. It's available in tie-dye and on a piece of fabric.
A piece of fabric of some description.
Some fabric. Anyway, so yeah, support us. Go to shop.spreadshirt.com/fictionalhangover and buy things. Okay? Okay. You know, it's really unfortunate that we promoted our shop in the middle of least favorite things. This is all the stuff that I hate. Okay, go buy a shirt. It was bad timing. But what's your least favorite? What do you hate? Not buying things on our website.
What do I hate? I already discussed mine. I said it was realism. The realism. Violet's death and the realism.
Yeah.
What's your favorite character?
Is that where we are now?
Yeah.
I really liked Mallow. And Tansy too. Like they.
I like their relationship.
Yeah, I feel like they're a package deal. They're in cahoots. Mm. But I don't know. I liked Mallow. She like.
I feel
gave
like we
the
need...
least shit about everything.
Yeah.
Maybe slightly less than Aster, but she was just a badass, and I liked her.
Yeah.
She was the muscle.
Gave no Fs.
None.
Kind of just got on with it as well. Yeah. Very driven characters. I like them. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I do wonder if Charlotte Nicole Davis knows people like this in life, in real life, and that's who they're inspired by.
She did say that, I believe, in one of those things that I read, I'm pretty sure she said that she is Mallow.
Nice.
Just badass.
Yeah.
She's the muscle. She's I don't know. She was the best. I liked her the best.
Yeah, I agree.
She was also really, like, sarcastic and funny.
You know how much we love a sarcastic character.
We do love sarcasm. After she gets hurt, when she's, like, flown away by the Vengeance, and they're taking care of her, and they're in the mine, and she's like, you know, Tansy, if you wanted me to take my shirt off, I would have. It would have been fine. This is not the way to do it. And I was like,
yes.
This is hilarious. It's perfect.
That's probably one of my favorite scenes, actually. Yeah. Yeah. I do get this idea that, you know, she's been carried off by the Vengeance, and she's just like, no punching, you will not take me, punch, punch. And they're like, why did we pick her? Ow, stop it.
It's a bad idea, drop her, leave her behind.
I feel like we need a Cahoots t-shirt.
I think it's going to have to be Cahoots. They're in Cahoots. They really are.
Just find someone to be in Cahoots.
What?
Find somebody to be in Cahoots with.
Yes.
Yeah. That could be a life lesson as well.
Yes, find someone to be in Cahoots with. I think it's perfect. Were you surprised by anything? The story that we already wrote for the next book. Our fan fiction.
Yes, my fan fiction.
Violet's death. But she's not really dead. I was really surprised by that. I really was. She just gave up.
I don't think she gave up.
Without me.
I don't think she gave up. I think she realised her limitations. She realised she's on withdrawal. She's been starved. She's dehydrated. She's sleep deprived. She's probably got a myriad of other injuries and probably illnesses from the work that she's had to do and the time on the road. And her, yeah. I think her body and spirit just kind of gave up at the same time.
They were so close.
Yeah, but I think that's why it didn't surprise me, because they're so close. And at this point, all of them were still alive. And I'm like, when is somebody going to... I kind of expected, and I was surprised in the prison, that somebody didn't give up.
Yeah.
I was expecting when the Raveners were, you know, giving them those horrible nightmarish visions and torturing them, I expected one of them to give up at that point. But I don't know who it would have been, because...
Well, Aster almost did, just so they could have food.
Yeah, Aster, for me, is kind of, you know, Hunger Games-style Katniss of, you know, I'll step in to save my sister.
Yeah, she volunteers as tribute.
She'd have volunteered as tribute if they'd have picked Clementine to do things with. And like we're saying, Violet is too stubborn, I think, or at least, you know, she wouldn't have. Violet wouldn't have. I don't get the impression she would have. But Mallow and Tansy were...
I have a question about Violet. You need to call on me in a moment so I can ask that question, but please go ahead with what you're saying.
Okay, so Aster would have... Hunger Games tributed for Clementine, if Clementine had been singled out to be in some way tortured separately.
Mm-hmm.
Or said, no, I'm giving up to save you guys, because you guys have done this for me. It's too much. But then there's the Z factor.
I like the Z factor.
The Z factor. And then Mallow and Tansy are a unit.
They're in cahoots.
They're in cahoots. So I couldn't have seen those giving up. Violet possibly, but again, I don't know. She's had at that point a stubbornness about her.
Yeah.
But I did expect somebody in the prison to die. Not. And then when that didn't happen, I was like, well, the old can't survive. This is not the type of book that where everybody can survive. It's not the environment that everybody can survive.
I was just really hoping that they would, though, because everything had been ending so nicely.
Exactly, you know, that's why I couldn't.
Like, I just hoped that, you know, everything has been so perfect. I mean, terrible at the same time, but everything has...
It worked out.
Yeah, everything's worked out so well. Like, couldn't she have just made it too? But...
The other thought I'd had, if they all had survived, was that Violet's mum was Lady Ghost.
Hmm. Yeah, could have been.
That's maybe, my other thought. If Violet
maybe
had...
Maybe that's something else that we'll see in the next book.
Yeah. And she's been desperately trying to get her daughter back, but hasn't been able to.
Yeah. Can Violet read?
She said in the book that when she was given the letter, she couldn't. And it was over a year before she had started to read. And at that point, it was too late. She didn't want to read the letter. So I think she can.
But then when she had it, but when they had it at the end, she asked her to read it.
Yeah, because I don't think her literacy levels are enough to have been able to read it to understand it properly. Okay. I think she
just wanted to make sure that you also thought that she was unable to read.
Yeah, I think she's got very limited literacy levels, which is understandable given the upbringing.
Yeah.
And the fact that Asta even knew how to read was surprising, perhaps.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the points I've got are surrounding Asta and Violet in future books.
Yes.
When hopes, wants and dreams of what happens in their cahoots and, you know, what we find out.
Yeah.
Ah, just chop your finger. That sucks and blows. Okay. Right.
Is it time?
It's time. Pew, pew, pew. Oh, how do you do a six shooter? Pew, 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 pew.
It's basically the same thing.
Pew.
Pew, pew.
So, on social media, we asked you, would you rather rob a bank or rob a stagecoach? 42.
What are our results?
On Facebook, 24% said bank, 76% said stagecoach. On Instagram, it was 47% bank, 53% stagecoach. And on Twitter, 76% bank and 33% stagecoach. But every single comment across the socials was for stagecoach. And here's some for your enjoyment.
We haven't done this in a while.
No, it's been a few weeks. Yeah, sorry guys, we do read everybody's. Obviously the funny ones, you know we love the funny ones. They do get us chuckling.
But we do read them and collect them all, don't worry.
We do. And please know that if we don't read out your comments, it's probably because the poll is still open and we've had to record the interview before it closes.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, Constance on Facebook said, stagecoach, easy pickings. And I'd be like kissing Kate, though I think she did both. Maybe.
Possibly. Colin on Facebook says, stagecoach, it just feels more old westy, which automatically means it's awesome. Plus, then I can ride on top of the stagecoach while it goes out of control along a narrow mountain pass after the driver has been shot, ultimately leading to me making a daring leap for safety as the coach goes over the edge of the cliff to explode in the ravine below.
Yes.
That's a full story right there.
It was. Colin always provides a full story.
Yes.
Casey on Facebook said, stagecoach seems like the safer bet as far as not getting caught, but then I guess they run the risk of not getting much loot. Shrug.
Mm. Real Jackson Ford on Instagram says, stagecoach, built-in getaway vehicle. Practical.
And Rincon de Joss on Instagram said, stagecoach is easier and already running. Sure.
What would you do? Would you rob a bank or rob a stagecoach?
I think I'd rob the bank.
Thank you. I would rob the bank as well. At least it's not moving.
Especially if it's in their case. If it's in their case and they have the safe, what's the word? The combination to the safe?
Yeah.
Totally robbing the bank.
Yes. And you know, it's not moving. There's one thing. The chances are there's only one or two people in the bank, depending on what time of day you go.
Yeah, I'm robbing the bank.
And there's like five of them. It just feels a lot easier and a lot more loot.
Yep. You only have to rob one bank.
Exactly. And it's not like they've got silent alarms and massive amount of security people.
Mm-mm. No. Bank would have been definitely the way to go.
Yeah. I was honestly surprised by the amount of people who were stagecoach.
I know. I mean, like, how do you even get onto the stagecoach in the first place? It's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's already moving. You gallop your horse up next to it and jump off.
See, there's the problem. You've got horses.
Axle breaking.
Can you drive a stagecoach? It can't be easy.
Do you lie down in the road? I mean, it might be fun to set up, like, a sting to rob a stagecoach with all five of them?
I mean, there's no stoplights. This is the Wild West. You know, you can't, it's not like you can, like, no, I just think it'd be so much harder.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, robbing the bank isn't the way to go. Definitely.
No. Do you know what I wouldn't do either? I would never rob a train. That just seems like bad business.
I would only rob a train if I was stealing the train to drive back to the future.
That is the only acceptable train robbery.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, delightful. That is just delightful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
That's the only time I would rob a train.
With you there, sister.
And they didn't even rob that train. They borrowed it.
Yeah.
And then it exploded in a fiery eruption at the bottom of the ravine.
Exactly.
At the bottom of the Eastwood Ravine.
But then history was made.
Yes, it was. Because it wasn't the Clayton Ravine anymore. It was the Shonash Ravine, and then it was the Eastwood Ravine. I watch too much Back to the Future.
I don't think that's a possibility.
No? You don't think?
No. It's been too long since I've watched it. Well, I've got the Blu-rays somewhere.
Do we need to watch it together?
Well, she'll put it in our pile. We'll watch The Mummy and then we'll watch Back to the Future.
Yeah, okay.
Cool.
That's fine. So, next question. Would you rather sleep in a barn with rats or out in the wilderness?
Wilderness.
With vengeance and raveners floating around?
Rats. Ew, man. Ew. Okay, so, I mean, can I sleep in the rafters? But the rats still get in the rafters, don't they?
The rafters.
Rattuses. But at least if I'm in the wilderness, I could build a fire.
It's true.
And feel, like, protected by flames.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to go wilderness.
Yeah, I'd probably sleep in the wilderness, too. I probably would. Out under the stars.
Yeah. Make a s'more, whatever that is. Tell ghost stories.
I'm sorry, excuse me. Excuse me. Stop talking. You don't know what a s'more is?
I know it involves marshmallows and is it graham crackers and chocolate?
Yes.
But it's... I've never had one.
We're having s'mores. Whenever you come to visit, no matter where we are, no matter what is happening, we will build a fire and have a s'more. You roast a marshmallow and you have your graham cracker and your chocolate, and then you put a roasted marshmallow on top and you put another graham cracker on top, and it's a delicious sandwich of joy.
What is a graham cracker?
It's a cracker that is sweet. Sometimes they taste like cinnamon, sometimes they taste like honey. It's a sweet cracker.
When you say cracker, is it the same as my crackers? Like Vivita cracker?
I don't know what your crackers are. A small square of dried, crumbly, crispy bread? No, it's not bread. It's not,
well, that,
it's
not no, that much, no, but... crackers are very particular. You know, you get cheese and crackers, like on a cheese board. But you can get different variations of crackers. So when I mean, you might be able to get graham crackers in the UK, but it's not something I've ever actively sought out. But now I will. We do get huge, like they call them American marshmallows, because they're like the size of your face, specifically for barbecues. But yeah, doing s'mores is a very American thing.
Well, you need to do a s'more.
That, and I've never camped in my life and I do not want to.
It's fun.
No.
I do hotels prefer are camping. Fun. I do prefer camping in places that have some sort of restroom. I'm not going to go pee or poo in the woods. I need some sort of restroom and not a portable toilet. I have never in my almost, how old am I? In my almost 36 years of life, have never used a porta potty. And I won't.
There's no need.
I won't do it. I refuse.
I would rather shit in a bucket.
It's probably I would too. I would rather pee my pants than use a porta potty.
No. No. Next question, shall we?
Next question, yes.
Would you rather be pulled onto a moving train with an injured shoulder or run through the plains with an injured leg? They're both very active, and I'm far too tired for that. Do you know what? As long if with the moving train, it's not as if you've got to run alongside the train constantly. Once you've been yanked onto it and you're like already in pain, you can just lie there and kind of be,
have the pity party. That.
And then the other one's like running through the plains.
What if you're running through the plains to get somewhere to fix your injured leg?
What was if you're getting on the train to go somewhere to get your injured shoulder fixed?
I think how I'm going to jump onto the train.
I'm going to jump onto the train, yeah. I'm wondering how I'm going to get on the train. Am I going to be on horseback? Because, you know, issues. I'm not running next to the train because I can't. I can't run.
You can get pulled onto the train when it's just taking off from the station. And you just have to reach up. And someone grabs your hands.
Maybe
you get dragged a little bit, but it's not at top speed. We'll let you do that.
Thanks. Then I'm doing that.
Okay. Okay.
Because at least then I can sit down afterwards. Okay. I'm very tired at the moment. Like, physically, I have no energy. And the idea of running through the plains, oh gosh, just fate worse than death.
I feel like running through the plains, like, why are you running in the first place? Because if you're running from something and you're in the plains, there's not probably going to be a good place that you can hide. And so you'll have to be running for a very long time before
you are a target. Exactly.
Right. And jumping onto the moving train, I mean, you're probably jumping onto the train to be hidden.
Yeah.
So it just feels safer. It feels like it'll probably be terrible, but it will be safer in the end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Are we agreeing on all these? We're agreeing so far.
I really think we are.
Nice.
Next question.
Yeah.
Would you rather be the child of a good luck girl or a ravager?
Neither a good option. If you're the child of a good luck girl and you're a girl, you're going to become a good luck girl. If you're the child of a ravager, are you necessarily going to become a ravager? I'm going to say a child of a ravager.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea of the, you know, that imprisoned sex trade-esque, that falseness from Madame Fleur. And, you know, the drug addiction. Oh, but you got to go see a dentist.
You do get to go see a dentist. And you always have a roof over your head. You always have food.
It's mutton dressed as lamb. And I think at least with a ravager, I might feel like I could escape that life like Z did.
Mm-hmm.
Easier than a welcome house.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say child of a ravager. Because you don't have to become a ravager.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
This question that we're asking, when we are using the term child, are we still a child?
I would say at this point we're like 16, 17, 18.
So we're grown up. Because if we were still a child, I think being in the relative false safety of a welcome house as a child would be less terrible than being out on the plains or wherever you are, ravaging people.
Yeah, until you get that marking.
I
think you are safe as in the good look as the daughter of a good look girl.
But I think I'm gonna continue growing up and I'm gonna realize what's going on around me.
Yeah.
And how terrible things are. I think being, like you said, being a ravager would probably be easier to escape.
Yeah, and you're probably going to get some realistic survival skills being a ravager.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just like camping and knowing how to make a s'more.
You will learn what a s'more is.
I know what a s'more is in principle.
Now that I taught you.
Well, I knew it involved graham crackers, I knew it involved chocolate, I knew it involved marshmallows, but I didn't know what the combination was.
Sandwich.
Are graham crackers like biscuits?
They're thinner and not chewy. They're crunchy. But they are sweet.
I think we have similar things. I'm going to have to investigate.
You will have to investigate.
Okay.
So again, we agreed. Ravager.
Yeah.
Next. Last question.
Already? Last question. Would you rather be a scorpion or a lady ghost?
That's a tough one because they both help a lot of people. Do the lady ghosts just help the good luck girls? Or do they help others? I think
there's a potential because they didn't have any qualms about helping Zay.
But they had to ask.
Yeah, but they assumed that Lady Ghost was going to get rid of their favours and that Lady Ghost was going to get them to safety. So I think that was an assumption from like Asta and the group's point of view.
I feel like if I was a scorpion, I would probably help more people doing essentially the same thing than if I were a lady ghost.
I think you'd probably be more accessible as a scorpion as well. Like, it seemed really hard and long to get to Lady Ghost, whereas the scorpions seem to have, like, cells across the country.
Yeah.
You probably, possibly, I think the scorpions are probably a bit more, more in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to say a scorpion as well. Is this the first time we've 100% agreed?
I think it might be.
Huh. Who'd have thunk?
I think it might be.
Who'd have thunk?
We must be in cahoots.
Nah.
Cahoot.
Oh, yeah. Well, up.
Is it time for final thoughts?
It is. There's the obvious. There's the obvious that we've already discussed. Find someone to be in cahoots with.
Yes, find someone to be in cahoots with. And cahoot with them.
Cahoot with someone. Cahoot, hoot.
That's a good one. But,
cahoot, hoot. Yeah, the one I came up with before we started talking and then came up with the cahoots, which is just wonderful to say, is...
It is.
Cahoots. If you're willing to work hard, you know, blood, sweat and tears, you can pull yourself and others out of hell.
That's true.
You can, hopefully.
That's true. Mine is something that we didn't talk about in the summary, but it was a big, big part of the book. Is that sometimes it's okay to be angry. Aster, throughout the entire book, was angry.
Yeah.
She was angry about everything. And, you know, at some points she was afraid of how angry she was. Like when they were robbing the Braggs and the Statesmen and stuff. And she would get so angry and like, you know, just beat the shit out of them because she's so angry. But, you know, they survived because of her anger. For most of the time.
She's allowed her anger.
Yeah, she is. And it's okay. It's okay to be angry.
Yeah.
Especially if you take this book and put it in today's context. It's okay to be angry. And we are also angry.
I think it's necessary to be angry because... Like you say, if you lift and shift, we've got a lot to be angry about and there's a lot of things we need to fight to make sure it doesn't happen because it's messed up.
Yeah. So it's okay to be angry. Don't Don't feel bad about your anger.
No.
Use it in a good way.
Exactly. It's what you do with that anger and how you express it.
Yeah. Use it in a good way, but it's okay to be angry.
Yeah. Oh, it's a heavy book, isn't it?
It is. But it was also so delightful at the same time.
Yes.
And full of all of the best tropes used in the best possible way.
Yeah. Delightful.
Like, normally, books that are really tropey bother me, but this one was, like, perfection. Yes. Yes, they're robbing someone. Yes, they're breaking into a bank. Yes, they're jumping onto a moving train. All of these things are just... It was so good.
Do you think... If it was a bunch of white guys, it would have been as good.
I would have been so annoyed.
Yeah.
I already know.
Yeah. Same. I've been, oh, for God's sake, I've seen this before a million times. I do not need to see it again.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's accent different and better.
Of the week.
Ooh. I just really feel like the accent of the week this time is going to have to be a southern one because it goes along with the story. And I already did part of it when I was reading beginning of the summary, and then I decided that I was going to try not to do it. But you can't be sweet on somebody. You can't be... What else
Please
say
Kahoot. Please say cahoots.
You can't be in cahoots with somebody if you don't have a southern accent. What was it that I said earlier? And it really made me think. It wasn't ripping hell, but you gotta be southern to say ripping hell. For sure.
She's finally a proper woman and in her favor, the tattoo, Clementine flower put on it.
No, she's not a proper woman. She's a woman proper. She is finally a woman proper. She's finally a woman proper, and she's got her Clementine flower put on her neck when she was 10, and it has bloomed. Yep, woman proper. That's what it was. So hard for me to say that without just... She's finally a woman proper. She is finally a woman proper. And her favor, a tattoo of a Clementine flower. Like, I have to like completely go into something different and not,
she's finally
not say woman proper.
It doesn't feel right.
She is finally a woman proper.
She's finally a woman proper. And in cahoots.
She's in cahoots. She's sweet on somebody. They're stealing their shine. All of it. I would like to say that I'm proud of myself for not letting it go on as long as I could have.
I'm also quite sad that it hasn't gone on longer than it could have. Anywho.
I could have done the entire summary like that. It would have felt better. I feel like I struggled with the summary a little bit, and it's because I just really wanted to let it happen.
Feel free, when I've gone to bed, to re-record the entirety of the summary in that accent.
Yep, you want me to just redo the whole thing? I'll do the whole show by myself.
Well, no, you'll just do the summary. Because otherwise, the audio track's going to look really weird when you're doing one-sided conversation, and suddenly you're talking about s'mores.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't need to have half of a conversation about s'mores by myself. Do you know why? Because to have a conversation about s'mores, you have to be in cahoots with someone. I don't know. It's done.
The only cure to a fictional hangover is to be in cahoots.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so... I want to talk about the first, if you liked this, try this book.
Yes, please.
So, the first one that we picked is called Blood Red Road by Maura Young. And that is the beginning of the Dustlands series, or trilogy. There's three of them. And it was very good. And it gave me the same vibes as this one. Although, this book was very, like, it's always been the Wild West.
Yeah.
It's still currently the Wild West, and Blood Red Road is a dystopian future where we have reverted to the Wild West. So,
this
anyway,
as well
still very good.
Was almost the book we covered.
We did almost talk about this one, but it is quite a bit older.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got a debut author that you can talk about.
We wanted to support, exactly, the debut author. That's exactly. It was a very big attention
point. So, summary from Goodreads. Saba spent her whole life in Silver Lake, a dried-up wasteland ravaged by constant sandstorms. The Wrecker civilization has long been destroyed, leaving only landfills for Saba and her family to scavenge from. That's fine by her, as long as her beloved twin brother Lou is around. But when four cloaked horsemen capture Lou, Saba's world is shattered, and she embarks on a quest to get him back. Suddenly thrown into the lawless, ugly reality of the outside world, Saba discovers she is a fierce fighter, an unbeatable survivor, and a cunning opponent. Teamed up with a handsome daredevil named Jack and a gang of girl revolutionaries called the Freehawks, Saba's unrelenting search for Lou stages a showdown that will change the course of her own civilization. The Freehawks also remind me of the Good Luck Girls.
Yeah. 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 Definitely got similar lines.
Badass warrior girls.
Yeah. It might be one for the future. Ooh, we could have a theme month where it's badass warrior girls.
We could have a badass warrior girl theme month for next year.
I think I've got about 6 months.
I'm so excited
months.
About... We do.
I think I've got
about
6 months
about themed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, like, I really want to read this book. Oh, yeah. Should we actually... Yeah.
Let's make up a theme for it.
Yes! Why not? Why not? Okay,
I really Wait, hold on. I really like that our themes that we've picked started out with just one or two books that we discuss following the theme, and then it's been, nope, every book that we discuss has to fit in with our monthly theme. I kind of like it.
Yeah, well, it makes sense as well, and it helps us narrow our choices down, especially when we get recommendations from people. However, we do have one book next month that doesn't fall neatly into the theme. So, we're not every month. And we've still got series that we want to finish off that
won't fit
into the theme nicely.
That's true. That's true. We can always make it up. Because that's part of the theme, too, is making something fit.
Oh, we'll shoehorn it in.
We will. We will shoehorn it.
I did get asked by somebody about the Fictional Hangover Book Club on Facebook, which please feel free to join.
Please, yes, please
said,
do.
Am I allowed to talk about biographies and factual books? And I was like, is it a book? And then, yes, yes. It's a
just
book.
Just because it's called Fictional Hangover, it doesn't have to be fictional.
No, no. And I got into another conversation with somebody who is quite exclusively a graphic novel reader. I was like, get your ass on there and start up a conversation, please.
Yeah, really.
Because otherwise I have to turn the camera around and show you how many graphic novels I have, and let's not even open up the garage door into the boxes and boxes and boxes of comic books. Signed Wonder Woman right behind me.
That's cool. All we care about is reading.
Yeah. Yeah. Books.
Read all the things that you want to
books.
Read.
Books. Read what delights you. Don't be afraid to put something down if it doesn't. Right, next book. I'm very excited to recommend this one.
Because and it's so funny that you're recommending this one because we're talking about it next.
Well, yes, we are talking about next. I have already read it, as has Amanda, who is currently squeeing at me.
So good!
And spoiler, it's bloody brilliant.
It is.
And so this fits in the other half of the theme of the month, which is space, the final frontier. And it's The Pioneer by Bridget Tyler. So the summary, as on Goodreads, is when Jo steps onto Tau Ceti E, it should have been the happiest moment of her life. After all, she's been training for as long as she can remember to be a cadet pilot in the International Space Agency. She's dreamed of the day she and her family would leave Earth forever and begin life as pioneers on a new planet. But now she can't stop thinking of everything that has gone wrong on their mission. The terrible accident that nearly destroyed their craft, that set their voyage back years, that killed her brother, that left her unable to fly. As Jo struggles to live with her grief and figure out who she's going to be now, she falls in love with her new world. It isn't hard. Jo's team is camped out by a pristine, tumbling river at the base of a mountain range that looks like huge prisms buried in the prairie. The soaring crystal peaks transform every sunset into rainbows full of colours human eyes have never seen before. And that's just the beginning. Tao offers Jo and her family a lifetime of beauty and adventure. Jo throws herself into helping her team, led by her commander mother, establish their community on this amazing new world. But just when she starts to feel like her old self again, she uncovers a devastating secret her mother has been keeping from her people. A secret that could destroy her family's pioneering dreams if they survive that long. Dun, dun, dun. It's bloody brilliant, and we're going to talk about it next week. And I'm sorry I'm singing, but you'll just have to deal with that so because so it's good. So good. Anywho,
that's it for this episode of Fictional Hangover. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Claire.
Join us next time as we discuss The Pioneer, written by Bridget Tyler and narrated by Jesse Valinsky. Contact us if you'd like to join us for an upcoming Would You Rather segment or if you have any books to recommend. Look out for our next Would You Rather poll on social media, join in on our book club and monthly challenges on Facebook, and don't forget about our shop at shop.spreadshirt.com/fictionalhangover. Until next time, remember, the only cure for a fictional hangover is another Cahoots.
Love, love, love.
Whoops. That's not right. It's another book. It's another book. Come on. Just had to say Cahoots. Jeez.
You can find us at fictionalhangover.com. Follow us on Instagram at fictionalhangover. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fictionalhangover. And on Twitter at fictionalhangover, no ER. And now on Goodreads at www.goodreads.com/fictionalhangover. And finally, a special thanks to Liz Emerson for our music. You can find her on Facebook and on Patreon. Thanks for listening.